Hello there. Today on the podcast, I'm talking with Zina about Hungarian folk songs. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Szabó-Boss. Our goal is to discover, celebrate, and share Hungarian heritage and encourage you to do it too. We'll touch on food, travel, history, music, language, and share stories from our guests. We're glad you're here. This is a podcast where we'll explore Hungarian heritage in a variety of ways. We'll introduce you to some fun people and organizations who love their Hungarian heritage and share some great resources with you so you can get connected to your Hungarian heritage in a deeper way. So whether you know a little or a lot about being Hungarian, this is the place to be. Welcome to another episode of the Hungarian Living Podcast. Today, I am visiting with Zina Bozai. Zina is the founder of the Hungarian Folk Singing Circle, which teaches Hungarian folk songs in a variety of ways. And a few years ago, when I was in Hungary with one of our tour groups, I had the opportunity to participate in one of Zina's classes, and it was great fun. Welcome, Zina.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Well, before we get into a discussion about your Hungarian folk song classes, will you tell us a little bit about where you were born and raised?
Mm-hmm. I was born and raised in San Francisco, California.
Okay. And were you a part of the Hungarian community there, or did you grow up speaking Hungarian?
No, I didn't. When I was a child, I wasn't aware that there was a Bay Area Hungarian community. You know, this is in the pre-internet days. And we didn't speak Hungarian at home. I had a Hungarian identity, of course, knowing my family's history. And we visited Hungary in the summers with my family. And we had some Hungarian things around the house, you know, like the wooden cradle for my grandmother, little dresses that we wore for special occasions. So it came up on a regular basis because of my name, of course. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that a lot of Hungarian Americans can relate to that experience of that level of connection with their Hungarianness. But right, I wasn't speaking Hungarian and wasn't part of the Hungarian community.
Okay. So you were born and raised in the US and mm-hmm. now you live in Budapest and you offer these wonderful folk singing classes. So where did this passion for Hungarian folk songs come from?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had some exposure in my childhood to Hungarian folk music, just in different ways. Like I mentioned, the family trips coming back to Hungary, although that was more sort of stage performances, you know, folk dance performances and things like that, or the kinds of music that you would hear in restaurants or coffee shops. And then growing up in classical music, I also played piano pieces written by Hungarian composers that had influence of folk music in them. But in general, I was in classical music and exposed to a lot of other styles of music. And I was always interested in folk songs. So it was just sort of a natural progression of things, a natural trajectory that I wanted to learn about Hungarian folk songs, you know, since I'm Hungarian. And so I came to Hungary to learn the songs. And once I started learning them here in Budapest, there were some really beautiful ones that I fell in love with. And just learning about the tradition itself too, how it functioned, how the songs had been passed down orally, the differences, you know, between folk music and classical music, that all really struck me too. So not just the songs themselves. And because I hadn't been able to find these songs in the US, it then was natural for me to want to share what I'd learned with others. So that's mm-hmm. really what I've been doing for the last 15 years, you know, just bringing the songs to new people, whether it's the classes or performances, just trying to make them more accessible to English speakers.
So let's talk a bit about the definition of a folk song, because I know mm-hmm. that there's a few definitions out there. And I know I've operated with, coming from a different perspective on what a folk song is. And so how about if you talk a little bit about that, just so our audience knows?
Yeah. It's a great question, and it's really important to clarify. Some people in the US use the term folk song to talk about a genre of music, right? Like a folksy style or aesthetic. Maybe the image of a singer-songwriter with a guitar comes to mind. Maybe when you think about folk music from around the world, you're really thinking of anything from a given culture, like anything specific to that culture, anything Hungarian. But right away, we can see that's not specific enough, right? So for example, if it's a classical composition by a Hungarian composer, we know that's not Hungarian folk music, just like if it was a rock band from Japan, that wouldn't be Japanese folk music, or a jazz band from anywhere, right? So we can say, okay, let's back up a second. Folk music is a traditional style that's passed down orally over the generations among a group of people. So when I'm saying Hungarian folk songs, I'm talking about village songs. They're coming from a living oral folk music tradition. So there's not a composer or a songwriter the people from that village grew up with these songs as a musical mother tongue, so to speak. That's how we often say it in Hungarian. It means that you learn it in your everyday life, just at home and with your parents, your grandparents, your neighbors, your friends. It's not something you learned in school or from sheet music. So when you hear something like a choral arrangement or a piano or orchestra piece called Hungarian folk songs, that means that's an arrangement of or a composition inspired by that original village tradition that I'm talking about. So something like, you know, Liszt Hungarian Rhapsodies or Brahms Hungarian Dances or those sorts of things, what I'm thinking of. So there are a bunch of different popular styles that blend elements of these, you know, traditional folk songs with popular classical music, other styles. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah.
The other thing to say about it aesthetically is that some people have an association that folk songs are very simple and that that's sort of like one of the defining characteristics. So I always want to say right away that that's not necessarily the case. There's a really wide range of songs in the repertoire and the tradition. So there are really simple songs, really highly ornamented songs. In other words, very easy ones, very difficult ones to sing or play. They're happy and sad songs. They're fast and slow songs. So love songs, grieving songs, wedding songs, lullabies, dance songs, all of that is part of this repertoire. It's very diverse. So it's not like, oh, a folk song sounds like X, right? Mm-hmm. It's about the fact that the song has been passed down orally over the generations. That's the defining feature.
So it sounds like in the world of folk music, there's still a world of Hungarian folk music, and it's very diverse.
That's exactly right. And I haven't even talked about the regions, right? We're just talking about song type so far.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Wow. Okay. So, and I'm sure you talk about those kinds of things in your classes. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about what you teach in the classes that you teach.
Right. So everything is taught directly from village source recordings. So that means that if you've heard of Bartok or Kodai having gone around and done village, you know, collecting songs in the villages, making field recordings, gathering them, putting them in archives, if any of that's a reference for the listeners, those are the types of recordings that we use in the classes. So you're learning the song directly from that person who grew up in that living folk tradition. So not sort of, you know, secondhand or third hand or that sort of thing. It's a whole range of songs, just like I was just saying, some simple, some highly ornamented. I make a point to have a real balance within every class series. There's both easier songs, more challenging songs, older style songs, newer style songs, and songs that come from different functions. Like I said, whether they're more up-tempo, you know, dance songs or grieving songs or shepherd songs or, you know, courting or heartbreak or what have you. And really choose ones that have beautiful song words, you know, beautiful lyrics. Maybe, you know, if we're working from a certain region, make sure to include songs that have the unique regional scales or rhythms, you know, things that are real characteristic of that region. And it's important to me to have this kind of variety, just in part to undo the stereotypes I was just referencing. If people have only heard one type of song, mm-hmm. Or maybe if there are some really well-known tunes from a given area, but there are some lesser-known ones too. You know, I always think it's a pity when there's such a huge repertoire that people know those top 10 or top 20 songs. So I make a point to have a real mix of giving people the opportunity to learn well-known songs better or learn them for the first time, and then also learn lesser-known ones so that those can come into the kind of common repertoire too, and we can, you know, have more of appreciation for the whole range. So that's kind of about the song types. And then if we talk about the regions, you know, often I'll focus on a different region. I teach a lot of songs from Transylvania. This spring, it'll be Kolotaseg, Mezőség, and a region called Maros-Kükülővidéke, which is a little bit less known. But those are kind of in central Transylvania, or the western side of Transylvania. I also teach songs from the eastern side, from Gimes, or across the mountains from Moldva, and from former northern Hungary, now in Slovakia, and down in Transdanubia, Dunantul. So it's just to say that there's a bunch of different regions that I teach songs from. And sometimes class might be sort of a sampler, you know, things from mm-hmm. a bunch of different areas. And then besides the songs, there's a lot of background information, you know, about the vocal technique, the instruments, the traditional lifestyle, those sorts of things. And then I also sometimes teach, you know, or teacher lead lectures on separate topics, you know, that, you know, in addition to the singing class, just to supplement some of that background information. So there'll be some of that coming up as well, sort of a lecture series. So,
okay. Well, that sounds very interesting. And, you know, even just the class that I sampled was a lot of fun and not just fun. I mean, it was also challenging, you know, because I was trying to pronounce Hungarian and sing. And, you know, even though I love music and I grew up with music, you know, I hadn't done anything quite like that before. So it was very interesting to be there together. Mm-hmm. And so the students, you know, I was just kind of stepping in for a class and I felt like, okay, this is a class I could do. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it was very interesting. And, but who are your students? Are they fluent speakers? Are they musicians? Where do they come from?
Mm-hmm. It's a real whole range of backgrounds. So right now, if we're talking about the online classes, of course, you came to an in-person class. So in that case, you know, here in Budapest, it tends to be people who are expats, you know, people from other areas, or they might be like yourself or others who have Hungarian descent, have come back to Hungary either to visit or to live or to study or something. But a lot of people from other places as well, or not Hungarian descent, just living here. So that's the in-person classes. But if we talk about the online ones, people join from everywhere in the world. So in this last year, there've been people from over 40 countries and all six continents.
You know? How exciting.
And really a wide range of people from all different backgrounds. Of course, there's the Hungarian descent group, as you could guess. And, you know, in the US alone, you know, there's over a million people, most of whom don't speak Hungarian. So for a lot of that category, it can be a really deeply personal journey, right? To be healing that sort of intergenerational trauma of that loss of language or the song repertoire and restoring that feeling of connection to their roots. Mm-hmm. But that's also true for non-Hungarians, you know, to develop a new relationship with their voice and with singing. Maybe someone, you know, some of the people had experience in other styles of music, and then this provides a very different experience and relationship with music. You know, it's very non-competitive and supportive and a real safe space for singing freely. So in terms of musical backgrounds, some people are hobby musicians, some people are professional musicians, some have absolutely no previous singing experience. So mm-hmm. whether Hungarian or not, just all over the map in that too. And for those groups of people too, at whatever level they are, it can be eye-opening if someone has a musical background already, another style, you know, to be exposed to different scales or rhythms, completely different learning methodology musically, because it's all taught orally, different context. Another category of people would be folk dancers. There are a lot of folk dancers mm-hmm. in the classes who are part of, as you know, say in the US, there are a good number of Hungarian folk dance groups. And again, the participants in those groups are both Hungarian or not, or they might have a Hungarian spouse or, you know, any different kind of way that they ended up in that group. Maybe they were doing other kinds of Eastern European folk dancing and ended up doing that, or maybe, you know, there's some other connection there. There are a good number of people too who aren't, you know, singers or dancers, but they just have a Hungarian partner or friend or neighbor, someone close in their life. So, you know, for some of the dancers, maybe they've heard the songs casually, but never really had an opportunity to really sit down and learn them well. So yeah, it's a real mix. There's plenty of other groups as well. So it's not to say that it's just those. It's really simply anyone who's interested in the style. There's no need to fit any one of these groups of people. So I hope that answers the question.
And about how many people are in a class?
Mm-hmm. I keep the classes under 20 to 25. So the typical thing is 10 to 20. I really like to have it be intimate and interactive. Mm-hmm. I want there to be space for questions and conversation. So I don't want people to have the idea while I'm saying, you know, hundreds of participants in 40 right. different countries, that it's this huge lecture style anonymous class. It's not that way at all. They're small group classes. When there get to be a lot of people, I break it into separate groups. So even in the mm-hmm. upcoming class series, there's different groups covering the same material. And that's mm-hmm. partly also so to accommodate for the time zones, right? So the
right.
people in Australia, New Zealand join one of the groups and the people in California join the other one. So, you know, everyone is working on different things because of their different backgrounds. So some people are more focused on the pronunciation and the vocabulary. Some people are working more on the singing. Some people are more interested in the geography and history. And so it's everyone's, you know, working on different things and maybe challenged by different aspects of it too.
Okay. All right. And so how do the classes work?
Mm-hmm. So basically, before the class starts, I send out a PDF with the song words and an MP3 recording of the village source recording, like I was talking about before. So the students have that ahead of time. Of course, we're talking about the online classes, right?
Right, now, right?
So then when we're all meeting, we go through the song words. So I talk through the pronunciation of every single word. I teach a separate pronunciation class as well. So for someone who wants more detail, there's a separate pronunciation class going through every single letter sound with a whole full pronunciation guide. But in the singing classes, we pronounce through all of the song words. So repeating back every single word. And then I talk through the full translation of the song. So every single line, every word, understanding the symbolism, the references, the kind of meaning between the lines. So it's a lot more detailed. It's more than just if you have the translation already printed there, it's really talking through it. And then I'll talk about any other relevant background information to that song. So the village and the region, any kind of custom or dance, seasonal practice, something about that actual singer or how it was collected, just whatever's relevant to that song. And I might play other recordings too, you know, from the archives. So sung by different people, show different variations. Oftentimes I'll show maps or photographs of the region, you know, things like that. So then we actually start learning this song, right? So we're learning it line by line from that village recording. We play it and we sing it back. Now, this is the part people get nervous about when they hear this, like, oh, yeah, Everyone's going to hear me sing. No, everyone is muted. That's so important to say. So this is a lovely space for introverts. One of the few positives we can say from COVID is, you know, this has created a space in which people who might not have felt comfortable to come to a singing class, even if it is a group class, because they would be singing with other people. Mm-hmm. Everyone's muted. You know, you can sing with wild abandon. We can't hear you. And it's from what I hear from the feedbacks from the students, it's positive for them because for each of them, they're basically in duet with me. You know, they hear me and are just singing along with me all the time or singing back with the recording too. And I'm breaking things down. I break down any little challenging bit. There's a lot of repetition. So it's word by word, line by line, verse by verse, singing it back multiple times, going through the whole song, getting really comfortable, doing it slower, doing it up to tempo, you know, so like that. And I use different methodology to teach. So I'll use hand gestures to show the melodic contour. Sometimes I'll draw the shapes. Sometimes I'll use solfege or classical terminology if that's relevant for some of the participants. So I integrate different methodology to make it clear to everyone with their different backgrounds. And it, like I said, it's interactive. So people ask questions, I clarify things as they arise. And then at that point, when people are more comfortable with the song, they can volunteer to sing it back. I can give feedback or support them and help them with whatever they're struggling with. And that always helps the other people as well. So for every person that volunteers, you know, 5 or 10 other people go, oh, right, I was having the same issue. Okay, that helped me too. Yeah. So it's a very supportive group. It's a very welcoming environment, you know, it's very intentionally built that way to have that small group supportive feeling. And that really has worked to do it that way.
Yes, we have definitely seen that in the different classes that we offer as well, that, you know, sometimes people are hesitant about asking a question, but, you know, behind every question that gets asked, there are 10 people with the exact same question. They were just a little bit nervous about it.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly why I start with things like, here's the map, here's how you say the word. So it's just very clear that there are no stupid questions and that there are a lot of people who go, wait, what are you even talking about? The Transylvania's in Romania? You know, so it's fine. It's fine. Right. That's why we're here. That's the whole point, is to feel like it's open, it's accessible information. Here are the resources. Here's the information if you don't understand anything. And, you know, people also work with me privately too, by the way. So there's the group classes, but if people have follow-up that doesn't feel like something they want to do in the group class, or there's more they want to work on or ask about, then we have private sessions too, you know, in person or online. So that's also an additional space. I just really am trying to make space for people to, you know, jump right into this tradition because it's so rich and so beautiful, you know?
Well, and I'm glad that, you know, this time of COVID has created so many different obstacles and challenges, but it has allowed for us to become more familiar also with things like Zoom and being able to make a connection with people really across the world.
Right. And that's where it feels like this is something that's actually logical to offer. It's not like where you have a meeting that could be in person, but you're stuck in front of the computer, or, you know, something where you're obligated to be there, or you're tired of all the screen time, tired of all the online meetings. You know, these classes are classes where people are joining because they want to be there, because it's something that they've been looking for a long time. There are people who are in urban centers where they would have had some kind of Hungarian cultural activities that are canceled now during COVID, but there are a good number of people who don't have anything in their area. Maybe they live in rural Canada, maybe they live in New Zealand where there's no, or Hong Kong or Taiwan or Amsterdam or any number of places where there isn't a Hungarian folk singing teacher. And for a lot of those people, this makes sense whether or not there's COVID, because there simply isn't any other way that they'd have access to it. It's something they've been looking for years or even decades. And it's so satisfying on both ends for them to finally be able to learn what they've been looking for me to be able to share the songs and the research that I've been doing for all these years to be able to distribute it to the people who are wanting to learn about it. So it's a real win-win feeling. It really feels like it makes sense that we're online. We're online for a reason, because I simply can't fly to Canada and Ireland and New Zealand and Hong Kong every single week. So, you know, I think it's a lot better feeling than a lot of other online things. And it really does bring meaning to people's lives. Yes. Like you said, having this pandemic can make a lot of people think about, okay, well, how do I really want to spend my time? If a lot of things are canceled, what do I really want to learn? And I think it's wonderful if people choose to learn this.
Absolutely. I think it's just such an unusual offering, but at the same time, I love that it has such wide appeal. You know, you don't have to be a fluent speaker. You don't have to even be Hungarian. You don't have to be, you know, missing your Hungarian culture. You can be from Japan, you know, and have no connection with Hungarian culture, but except that you like this music or you like learning or whatever.
Absolutely. So and there, I will say too, that there are a good number of people who are fluent native Hungarian speakers in the classes too. So when I say every level of the language, it doesn't even necessarily mean mostly non-speakers. There are also people who speak at a beginning, intermediate, advanced level or native speakers, and they enjoy hearing everything in translation and they enjoy hearing it articulated and explained in English. They enjoy having the songs more broken down because, you know, for a lot of Hungarian speakers who've attended classes, you sing through the song a couple times and move on. And a lot of them are grateful to have a situation in which it's a lot more detail, a lot more repetition, a lot more explanation. So, you know, it does seem like a niche thing, as you were saying, and there are people kind of go, wow, that's really specific. You teach Hungarian folk songs in English? I would say absolutely it's not that specific. It's millions and millions of people around the world who are interested in this style, between the diaspora folks, which is already millions of people all around the world, and all of the musicians at whatever level of musicianship who are interested in the style. And I mean whatever level, meaning absolutely just hobby, interested in traditional music kind of from all over the world, people who are more specialized in Eastern Europe, people who, you know, play in Hungarian folk music bands, or like you said, someone in Hong Kong who maybe dances in a Hungarian folk dance group. You know, it's such a wide range of people. It's actually quite a big population of people between these different demographics who are interested in these classes.
And how fun to be, you know, you're enriching their lives, but also I can imagine that they're enriching your life as well.
It brings me a lot of joy. It really is true. It's a wonderful, satisfying thing to be doing every week. And I think with all of the difficult and depressing things happening in the world, to have something like this, it really does bring that balance and keeps me motivated, you know, week to week to be doing it. It's a very joyful hour and a half of each of the classes.
That's awesome. So how many songs do you cover in a session, just so people get a sense of maybe what the pace is like?
Right. You know, it depends if we're talking about a one-time workshop or a class series or what it is. These days, a lot of these online classes are in a six-week format, which I've chosen because it seems a good amount of time for people to sink their teeth into something, right? So, but it's not too much of a commitment. So if you have a one-time thing, might not be enough time to get enough of the, you know, orientation to the map and the pronunciation, the starting on the song, whatever. You're not going to learn it well enough to walk away like you really know the song well, right? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, committing to a whole, you know, let's say 4 or 5 month semester might seem like a lot for someone who doesn't really know what it's going to be like. Right. So 6 weeks is enough time to learn a group of songs and have that group have some kind of variety to it, like I talked about before, you know, more challenging songs, some easier songs, some more up-tempo or slower or what have you. And so usually in a six-week class, I've found that in this online format where it's about an hour and a half class, it's about 5 to 7 songs plus some other information or some chugatash, which are these shouting calls or something else. So, you know, again, we're not talking about hearing a song a couple of times and moving on. We're talking about each song gets its dedicated 45 minutes to an hour in which It's the pronunciation of all the words, the translation of the words, the learning it in detail line by line, and the repeating it back lots of times. And so if each week there's a new song like that, plus the songs are repeated over the course of the week so that you're, you know, you're getting to review it over and mm-hmm. over again and really mm-hmm. let it sink in. By the end of that 6 weeks, you then have a group of several songs that you know well. And that's mm-hmm. really the goal, is that you're really leaving with songs that you know well, you can sing. And it's not like you heard it, but you already forgot how it went.
Exactly. You kind of own it because you're now so familiar with it, because you have the story behind it. You know the location where it came from. You've talked through the pronunciation and then the singing piece of it. So,
and you've then repeated it, singing it dozens of times over that 6 weeks, mm-hmm. right? Okay. So there's a real focus. Every song gets its, you know, it's about one new song per week. Sometimes there'll be two songs in a week, and then by the end, there's a lot of repetition and review. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about this upcoming new class. I know you have mm-hmm. classes that start, you know, all through the year, but mm-hmm. you've got one coming up that people can jump into. When does it start? What does it cost? Mm-hmm. Who is it for? Yeah. Or what will it cover?
Mm-hmm. So this upcoming series starts Tuesday, January 18th. It's running for 6 weeks. It's 6 weeks of songs, this time from Kolotaseg, which is a very famous region in Transylvania. I say really famous among folk singers and dancers who have some familiarity with the style. Of course, it's absolutely fine if you have never heard of that before either. If it's a region in central Transylvania. And like I said, I've been doing that where we focus on a given region for each 6 weeks. So this last fall, we did 6 weeks on Transnubia, and then we did one on Moldova. So the one that's coming up is Kolotaseg. And then following that, there will be 6 weeks on Mezosheg and so forth. As I mentioned, anybody can join. So from zero musical experience to hobby musician to professional musician, Hungarian knowledge can be absolutely zero, beginning, intermediate, advanced, fluent, any of that. I make sure that everyone gets a lot out of it, whatever their background is, and that they're both supported and challenged at whatever level they're at in any of those areas. So any cultural background is welcome. For participants in North America, it's a 60 to 150 sliding scale for the full 6 week series, which is to say, it's $10 to $25 per class meeting. The reason that I do a sliding scale is that I want the classes to be open and accessible to people of a whole wide variety of backgrounds. And I know people are joining from a big range of different economies and individual mm-hmm. situations. So it was really important to me to offer it that way. And that's been working that way for quite some time now. And there are people that pay all the way from the minimum to the maximum of that range, and it all works out.
Okay. Okay, well, good. And we'll be sure to provide a link to the show notes so people can register, but tell us the details here as well.
Yeah, people can go to my website anytime. It's zinabozai.com, which is Z-I-N-A, Zina, and then Bozai, B-O-Z-Z-A-Y.com. And there's a whole Hungarian Folk Singing Circle page on there and all the information about the classes. And also on Facebook, you can look for Hungarian Folk Singing Circle and find it there.
Okay, super. But we will have links in the show notes so that that'll take care of that too.
Thank you.
And if someone is listening to this and this class is already mm-hmm. over, I know you already talked about the upcoming things, but how often do you do these classes?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, I do it all year round, to say all during the school year. Of course, in the summer, there are also things as well, depending on if it's online or in person or what. And we've done an intensive 1 week long summer camp the past couple of years as well, which has also been great, also on Zoom. But first of all, anyone can join anytime, even in the middle of a 6 week class. So even if someone is hearing this, you know, a few weeks later and we're in the middle of the class, they can join anytime. It's true that we're building up the songs week to week, like I said. So maybe they missed the first song or two, but then they learn the songs of the following week. So more or less every week there's going to be new things to learn, and you can kind of catch up on the songs the previous couple of weeks if you're joining in the middle of a class series. If someone really doesn't want that and they really want to be part of the whole 6 week series, then they, like I said, the next one will be starting at the beginning of March, going through mid-April, and then another one from late April through the end of May, and then in the summer camp, if everything goes according to plan. So, but I encourage people not to hear that and to go, okay, well, she's always offering it. I'll just join, you know, a couple months from now when I'm less busy, or 6 months from now. Because what I would say is, you know, each of these classes is covering a completely different area. It's each one of them is something very, very different. So it's not like it's just the same thing year round. This January, February is this specific group. If you join in March, you missed that. So I encourage you, if you're hearing it, jump right in, because every 6 weeks is something completely different, totally different group of songs, and, you know, just a different opportunity to learn about a completely different aspect of Hungarian culture.
Okay, good. I'm glad you mentioned that, because not only can they can jump in if they've missed a class or two or whatever, but also that it's not like it's the same class that's taught seven times during a year.
Right.
Every class is individual.
Absolutely. And there are some people who've been studying with me for a year, 2 years, 10 years, 12 years. And I'm always bringing in new songs. So I do sometimes bring back a song that I taught five, 6 years ago so that people can, you know, hear it again, refresh it and that sort of thing. But I really do pay attention to who has registered for the class, what songs they've learned, and make sure that it's new repertoire for everyone who's participating. So I spend too much time focused on that, but I do it on purpose because it's important to me that it's, you know, enriching for everyone, whether they've been doing it for a long time or they're just joining.
Okay. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for visiting with us, Zina. I appreciate you taking the time and explaining everything. And it was a fun conversation.
Thank you. And I also wanted to mention that even though we've been focused on the online classes, you know, it's just to say that there are also in-person ones. And let's just hope that, you know, I mean, right now in Budapest this spring, I will be teaching a bunch of in-person classes, but let's hope that we can continue doing things in other places as well. You know, this last summer I was there in the US teaching classes in Seattle and in the Bay Area in California, but I'm often, you know, going to festivals and things like that. So if people want to have an in-person class because the Zoom thing isn't their thing, then they can also, you know, check out the offerings or just contact me and ask, you know, hey, can you come out to our community and do a class with us? So it's just to let people know that the class that we talked about isn't the only format.
Right, right. No, and I'm glad you mentioned that. And hopefully people will contact you about that and do some planning because it would be great to have you, if you're in the US or wherever you happen to be, you know, just to be able to have you in person is delightful for me when I got to finally meet you. So
yeah. And a lot of people prefer singing in person. They prefer to hear the group singing in person. And I understand that. And that's why I said, you know, there's the private lessons, whether they're online or in person. There's group classes online and in person. There's public classes where anyone can join, but there's also private classes where people go, you know, just our group wants a class with you. And then those aren't the ones I'm advertising you know, to the broad public. It's just, you know, a given community. It could be a family, a group of friends, a dance troupe, you know, whatever it is. And they just have a private group class with me, right? So it's, you know, it can be for any different specific purpose. Sometimes it's because people want to learn, you know, a set of Christmas songs, or they want to learn songs for a specific, you know, medley for a concert or a performance. You know what I mean? So it can be a whole variety of different aims. And I just am here to serve as much as I can.
Okay. Well, awesome. All right. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Hungarian Living Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this conversation with Zina, and I hope you check out the upcoming classes that she offers. Want to learn Hungarian or learn how to cook Hungarian food? We've got you covered. Check out all our class offerings as well as meaningful books and gifts at thehungarianstore.com. Special thanks to Stephen G. Check and the Animal Cannibals for the show music. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Hungarian Living Podcast, please share it with your favorite Hungarian. Check out our show notes for links to resources mentioned in this episode. If you have a question or comment, email us at podcast@hungarianliving.com. We'll catch you next time.